31, 19 through 21. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion. From the strife of tongues, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness.
Before we get into this morning's lesson, I'd like to tell you about tonight's lesson. Tonight's lesson is going to be entitled Making a Difference, and we're going to be looking at the early church, or the early preparation of the church, and the ascension of Jesus found in Acts chapter 1. Then at a later date, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, and just for sake of title, I've called it Making a Difference Part 2. However, it's not going to be a culmination or a summary or a conclusion of the lesson we will have tonight. It will be on its own. But tonight we'll be looking at Acts chapter 1, and then in the future we'll be looking at Acts chapter 2. The lesson I would like to present today was requested, and because it is more or less seasonal in nature, I would like to go ahead and present it today. I'd like to begin by giving a quotation from the request itself. Quote, "With the holiday season upon us, we hear of random acts of kindness being done. We are all for that. However, as Christians, aren't we supposed to be doing acts of kindness year-round?" And then the letter says, the request says, "But as a clincher, people do these random acts of kindness and then brag about what they have done, especially on social media. Doesn't God tell us to do acts of kindness without expecting a pat on the back or praise when we do so?" And then I was asked, could I address this in a sermon? I will do that today. Random acts of kindness. I believe the first thing we need to do this morning is to define the word kindness, or to define the characteristic of kindness. According to the book of Psalms, from which Clint read just a moment ago, and other places as well, we find that kindness is a characteristic of God, a trait or a demeanor of God that he desires for us to emulate. And David writes a great deal about this concept of kindness. In Psalm 31, David talks about God's marvelous kindness. In Psalm 117 and in 119, he talks about God's merciful kindness. And then when we learn all of this kindness from God, David says in Psalm 145 that in order to help someone else in their need, it is an act of kindness. Also in Proverbs 19, Solomon says, it should be our desire, God's people's desire, to show these attributes, these characteristics, these demeanor of kindness. He also mentions God's law of kindness. In the book of Ruth, we read about God's great kindness. The prophet Samuel talks about the kindness of the Lord. Nehemiah talks about his great kindness as well. Isaiah talks about God's everlasting kindness. And from the New Testament, Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness, love. When the Apostle Paul was enumerating on the fruit of the Spirit, some translations use the word long-suffering, other translations use the word kindness. So kindness is a characteristic of God, a trait, the demeanor of God, and it is a characteristic that God wants us to emulate. Now that brings us to our sermon request. Brethren, random acts of kindness should be something that you and I as Christians do every day. It should not be something that we only accomplish during the holiday season. It should not be something we accomplish only concerning people that we love or people that we like. It should be something that we do every day. Random acts of kindness are something that God expects us to do. And my thinking is this: random acts of kindness is an opportunity to let our light so shine before men that they may see what we have done, that random acts of kindness, what we have done, that they may see it, but glorify our Father which is in heaven. So it's not exclusively for the holidays. It's not exclusively among friends. It's something that you and I need to do every day. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord every day. Now that brings us to our text, which is Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we're introduced to a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira. But in order to understand the story of Ananias and Sapphira, we need to back up into Acts chapter 4. So in Acts chapter 4, we realize now that the church is in its infancy. Many of the Christians that came to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost and were baptized on that day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were baptized, and in the ensuing days, other hundreds or thousands were baptized, and they had run out of provisions. They brought enough to see them through the feast, but they were planning on going home. Now that the church had been established, they remained in Jerusalem with all the other Christians who at that time were living in the world. And when they ran out of provisions, they needed help. Peter and John had been arrested. Probably other Christians had also been arrested. And this young infant congregation was frightened. They were in need. They didn't know where to turn. They needed to turn to each other. I'm reading from Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed, that was the multitude that was baptized in the early days of the church, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that the things which they possessed were their own. Now they were their own, but they were more than willing to share with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They weren't claiming anything was mine particularly. They had all things common. Now we skip a verse to verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid it down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according to his need. Now here's the most interesting part. And Joseph, who was surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas by the apostles, which being interpreted is the son of consolation, or the son of encouragement. He was given that nickname. He is an encourager, a Levite of the land of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Brethren, what a wonderful act of kindness. What a wonderful random act of kindness. Now remember, the church was very young, very immature. Some of their leaders were being arrested and thrown into jail. They didn't know what to do. Their provisions were gone. What are we going to do? Well, they were going to take care of each other. And that's really a serendipity to our lesson today. It shows that even today, 2,100 years removed from that, we Christians still need to take care of each other. And one of them, Barnabas, and others, no doubt, having extra land, extra houses, sold them and laid the money at the apostles' feet so that none of those early Christians would go hungry. Now, why did he do this? Was there a command? I don't find it. It was simply an act of kindness. It was simply a random act of kindness. Maybe he was thinking back to Psalm 117 or Psalm 119. Maybe he was thinking back to what David said or Solomon said. Maybe he was thinking back to the several times that kindness was mentioned in the Old Testament. I don't know, but he took it upon himself to sell a piece of property, bring the money, and lay it at the apostles' feet. And he was surnamed or nicknamed because of that, Son of Encouragement. Now we move to Acts chapter 5. Having seen what Barnabas and other Christians had done, having heard the acclaim given to Barnabas and probably other Christians as well by the apostles and others, Ananias and Sapphira decide they want to get in on that act. Not necessarily because of the kindness of their heart, but obviously also for the wrong reason. And the most obvious wrong reason is they saw Barnabas and others receiving applaud. They saw Barnabas and others receiving a pat on the back. They saw people bragging about what Barnabas had done. And obviously they wanted to get on that as well. And this human desire, this natural human desire, blurred their vision on the real concept of kindness. And they sold a possession. And they decided to give some of it to the poor Christians who were going hungry. That was their prerogative. They sold it for a certain amount. They decided to keep some of that amount, that was their prerogative, and give the rest to the apostles for distribution among the early church. Nothing wrong with that. What was wrong was, obviously, they realized they would not receive the acclaim that Barnabas did, and so they lied about it. They said, this is what we sold it for, and this is all that we And this is all that we made. They kept back part of the price. And when Peter confronted them about it, he explained it to them perfectly. He said, when this land or this house belonged to you, it belonged to you. And when you sold it, you did it because it belonged to you. And when you received a price for this land, it all belonged to you. And you could have given part of it. You could have kept it all. The problem was you lied about it. Their action was fine. Their attitude was wrong. It was not a problem that they kept back part of the money. The problem was they saw the acclaim that Barnabas was receiving. They saw that people were patting him on the back. They even saw where the apostles gave him a nickname, Son of Encouragement. And that outweighed anything else that they had. Their kindness could not be prompted by selfishness. And brethren, that's the gist of our sermon request today. And don't you agree? Our kindness cannot be prompted by our selfishness. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18. A moment ago, we were introduced to a husband and a wife. This time, we're introduced to an unnamed Pharisee and an unnamed publican. Luke chapter 18, I'm beginning with verse 9. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He's giving this parable to the Pharisees. They trusted in themselves. They thought they were righteous, though they despised others. Here's the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector or a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now there's something telling there. This was something he wanted people to know. This is something he wanted to be spread around. He prayed this within himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, an adulterer. I'm not even like that lowly publican who works for the Romans taxing we Jews. And then he begins to brag about all that he had done. He fasted twice a week. He gives tithes of all that he possesses. And the publican, standing away, not in this position of prominence and posture, this publican standing away, wouldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven. But he smote upon his breast, a sign of contrition. He said, "Father, I need your mercy. Please be merciful unto me, a sinner." And Jesus, in explanation, says, "I tell you, this man, this publican, went back to his house justified, not the unnamed Pharisee, because everyone who exalts himself, everyone who brags about himself, will be humbled. And the people who are humble will be the people that God will exalt or build up." Is that not the gist of our sermon request? Christians doing acts of kindness. Psalm 31 shows us that God does great acts of kindness. Psalm 117, 119 shows that God does great acts of kindness. And learning about kindness from God, Psalm 145, if we see someone in need, we're to show an act of kindness. Solomon says this should be our desire, but not that it brings attention to ourselves. Rather, that it brings attention to God. Brethren, bragging about God, bragging about keeping God's law of kindness is distorted because it defeats the purpose of showing kindness. We're kind because God was kind. No other reason. We're kind because God was kind. Now let's quickly move to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is right in the middle of what we call the parable, the Sermon on the Mount. And here Jesus is talking about, the King James says, charitable deeds. Now, I don't think we're doing anything wrong by substituting for charitable deeds acts of kindness. Those are one and the same. Those are synonymous. So let me read it that way. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 1. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, your acts of kindness before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do an act of kindness, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may receive the glory of men. Assuredly, I say unto you, they will receive their reward." Men will recognize that they are doing a charitable deed, an act of kindness. "But when you do an act of kindness, don't let anyone know. Don't let one hand know what the other hand is doing. And God, who sees in secret, will reward us openly." God will take care of the glory. God will take care of the pat on the back. God will take care of the bragging if bragging needs to be done. Isn't that the gist of our lesson today? Again, when we go into the world, when we let our light shine, is it to bring attention to ourselves? It's not supposed to. It's supposed to be so that people see God living in us and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Colossians 3:17, everything that we say and do needs to be done to the glory of God, giving thanks to Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is the one who receives the glory when we do an act of kindness. And brethren, really, where do we learn about kindness? We learn about kindness from God. That is a characteristic. That is a trait. That is something in Him that He wants us to emulate. He has shown us marvelous kindness. He has shown us merciful kindness. He has a law of kindness. And so the encouragement of Scripture is, Let's continue looking for these opportunities to do random acts of kindness. And God, who sees what we do in secret, will reward us openly. You remember at the end time, the Bible says that every word, every deed that we've done, whether good or bad, will be known at that time. So if even until then, it's not known that we did this act of kindness, that's what we learn from God. Now, brethren, before we can learn these lessons from God, we need to be in God. We need to be in Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I will build my church. There's only one church that Jesus built. Even the gates of hell could not keep him from establishing the church. Tonight, we're going to be looking at what leads up to the establishment of the church. How those early disciples made a difference in their world and in their community. And then in the future, we'll be looking at what happens when the church came into being with its power. But you have an opportunity to be a part of that church as well. So if you've never really considered the truth, if you've never really allowed the truth to cut you to the heart, if it's never made inroads into your heart, into your thinking, maybe it has today. The Bible is so plain and simple about this. Jesus says the rest of the New Testament amplifies the fact that once we've heard the truth and allow the truth to touch us, we need to take some very simple steps. We need to acknowledge that we cannot be saved without the blood of Jesus. We need to confess that Jesus is the Lord of our lives and give ourselves to Him. We have to repent or turn away from everything that stands between us and heaven. And we need to start over. Spiritually starting over in the Bible is called baptism. It's not the washing of dirt off of our body. It's washing of sin off of our soul. So if there is someone here today who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, hopefully for baptism, but maybe even for something else, if you need to come to Him, won't you come today? Shall we stand?